Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, life can be difficult, amen? Well, maybe not amen, but do you agree with me? This past year has been no exception. There's been plenty of disappointment, broken dreams, or maybe delayed dreams, the reality of death, uncertainty, missed funerals, missed weddings, not being able to say goodbye to loved ones, lost and broken relationships. And the list goes on. And even though it seems like we might be through the worst of this past year and a half, and there's a lot of hope on the horizon, for many there's still a host of questions, and they would be even non-pandemic-related questions. For example, there's little money in the bank. Can we make it to the end of this month? Can we make it to the end of this year? What is the outlook on my husband or wife who is spiraling in mental illness? Or my teenager who is struggling with anxiety? Will I get to see my loved ones who live in another country? And I don't know when or if or how or when I'll be able to see them next. I had planned on going to school, but I lost my job a year ago and there's no money left. Have any of you had any of these questions? Not one, wow, okay. A few, okay, good. And there's a whole host of questions that I haven't even listed. And according to the writer of this week's proverb, there is a wise way to deal with these questions and there is a foolish way to deal with these questions. As we continue our summer series called Wise Up, we want to look at another proverb. And this week, I want to look at Proverbs 18, 10 through 12. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs 18, verses 10 through 12. If not, pull out your Bible app or on the screen, we'll have it as well. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, and it says this: The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty or prideful. But humility comes before honor. The first thing that we notice in this proverb is the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And names in the Bible were extremely important. I remember when my wife and I were naming our first daughter. We were throwing around a couple names, and we had come to the name Olivia. And if some of you don't know, my wife's maiden name is Olive. And so we were like, Olive, Olivia, hey, there's some sort of connection there. And we like that. And so I kept on digging into this name a little bit to see if there's any meaning, more meaning to it. And I'm looking on my phone at different Bible passages and different things within the Bible, and I come to the meaning of the name, and I see it, and immediately I pick up the phone, and I'm like, babe, we gotta name our daughter Olivia. We have to do it. Listen to this. It comes from the root, or it comes from olive tree. The name Olivia comes from olive tree, and it comes from olives, and then there's olive oil that comes from the olive, and I was just extremely excited because in the Bible, olive oil represented the Holy Spirit, or being marked by the Holy Spirit. And I was like, babe, we have to name our first daughter Olivia because I would love if her life was marked by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God. And so we named our first daughter Olivia. And then we came to our second daughter. And same thing, we came to this name Gwen. And we loved it. And so again, I'm doing some research. And I come to this, the meaning of her name, and it means blessed of God. And it means holy or set apart unto God. And again, we were like, absolutely, 100%, we are going to name our second daughter Gwen, blessed of God. And so names are incredibly important. And a name in the Bible or in the ancient world was not merely a label or just some random name. It was that individual, if they were given a name, would embody the things of that name. They would embody the meaning of that name. It was their identity. And so in the Old Testament as well, there was often a parallelism between their name and the remembrance of them, or their fame. And so when it comes to the name of the Lord or the name of God, it was equivalent to the being of God. And so names were incredibly important because the name of that person or the name of God, he would embody the meaning of that name. And so nowhere is the name more important when we come to God himself. And so who is God? Well, Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7 explains this a little bit. God is talking with Moses, and he adds characteristics beside his name. And he says this. The Lord's talking to Moses. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so God attaches these characteristics to his name because God himself embodies these characteristics. It's in his very nature. Every summer, I like to grab a couple books and read them on vacation or on my holiday. And this summer, I picked up a book called The Incomparableness of God. That's a big word. The Incomparableness of God by George Swinnick. And it's a book just shy of 200 pages. And verse after verse, page after page, chapter after chapter, George Swinnick describes the incomparableness of God. He says over and over and over and over that it's pointless to compare God to anyone or anything because he is far greater than anything. One of the things George Swinnick says, he says, the being of God is like the peace of God which passes all understanding, and like the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. God himself embodies peace that passes understanding. He is love that passes all knowledge. And the writer of Proverbs states that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What is a strong tower, you might ask? Well, It was in ancient times, a strong tower was a tall building for defense. It was to watch for, if you would go up into this strong tower, this tall tower, it was to look out and watch for enemy invasion. It was to, you could set up artillery within this tower and defend against the enemy. And typically, as well, these ancient cities, they would build walls around the entire city, and then on each corner, they would set up these towers. And then potentially, depending on how big the wall was, at certain intervals, you'd have strong towers as well. And so these strong towers and walls would bring safety and security if you were in them or if you were behind them. The writer of the proverb is not the only one who refers to strong towers either. King David, if you're familiar with the kings of Israel, King David being probably the most famous king, he referred to God as his strong tower over and over and over. And Psalm 61 verse 3 says this, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." David repeatedly talks about how God was his security. In times of trouble, when his enemies were pursuing him, when the arrows of the enemy were coming after him, God himself was his strong tower. And he says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. God himself is a place of refuge." Continuing on, the righteous man runs into it and he is safe. This word safe, if you dig a little bit into it, it means to be brought up on high. So essentially, in the context of these strong towers, that you would be brought up into the tower and you would be kept safe, or you'd be behind a wall that is completely unscalable. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and have a place of refuge. Continuing on, the writer says this, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination." How many times have I believed that if I had more money, more wealth, more riches, that the storms of life would not impact me? They would not affect me. How utterly wrong am I to think that way? So often we run to everything around us in the world except for God. We look to our security, or we find security in our net worth, or we find security in our careers. You know, if I can just get that next promotion, we'll make a little bit more money and we'll be able to put a little bit more money into savings and we will be secure. We will be safe. Or if we just get that next house, if we could buy that dream house that we've always wanted, with that big backyard, with that fireplace, you know, we could host those dinner parties that we've always wanted. We could have our friends over and our kids could play back there. We could set up a big pool for them to play in, and the rooms, they'd all get their own room, and we find security in our houses. Or in our social status. Or how about this one? If our political party would just be in power, then our values would be upheld. The things that we care about, the things that we value as Christians, then we would be safe. Then we would be secure. Or how about if our kids just go to the right school, or if our kids marry the right person, or if our kids find the right career, then we can feel safe. Then we feel secure that we've parented properly. Or some of us would find our safety and our security in our good works. We give lots of money away. We give our time away. We're kind to our neighbors. We've done all the right things. And if we do all the right things, then we will find favor with God. Then we will find security with God or in our good works. And we would never really admit it, but if we really dig down deep, these things become our strong towers. They become our walled cities. If we have learned anything in the past year and a half, these things that we find security in, our houses, our jobs, our careers, our whatever you want to name, they can be stripped away in an instant. The writer of Proverbs, he gives us two types of security: the name of the Lord and the riches of this world. The name of the Lord and the riches of this world, or anything that you would find security in apart from God himself. The character and nature of God is contrasted with the riches of this world. The rich man thinks that if he has enough money, enough wealth, then he will be safe from the storms of this world. And when the storms of life come, whether that's in finances, relationships, death, disappointment, he believes that his money will be with him. More money will solve his problems. When he is rejected by his friends and his family, his money will comfort him. If I could rewrite this proverb and put it into my own words, I would say this: the wise man finds his refuge in God. The foolish man finds destruction on his bed of money. Proverbs usually cut to the heart, and this proverb is no different. The writer states that the wealth of the rich man is his strong tower. It's his strong city and a wall. But then look at this. It says, but it is all in his imagination. He's making up the story in his head that his wealth is going to protect him. It's only in your imagination that your career, that your house, that your education, your cars, your clothing will bring security. And when it comes right down to it, if we are calling a spade, what this really boils down to is idolatry. We are making our things God. We are making the things of this world God. We are giving the title that was meant for God, strong tower, we are giving that title to the things of this world. When only Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who hung the stars in the sky, the one who sent his only begotten Son that we might have safety and security in him, can be our salvation. Moving on, Proverbs 18:12, the very next verse says, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. The prideful man says, look at my cars. Look at my house. Look at my career. Look at the things that I have done. Look at the safety. Look at this strong wall, this strong tower that I have built for myself. This is what the strong man says, and it's prideful. Pride comes before the fall. The commentator Garrett, he says this: wealth does afford a measure of protection. It does. But the danger of wealth is precisely that it gives the possessor the illusion of greater security than it can actually provide. It's like the rich man in his imagination. He's creating a story in his head that his wealth and his belongings will keep him safe. And ultimately, this is pride, this is arrogance, this is independence, and it will only lead to destruction. Riches can be lost at any point. The things of this world can be destroyed at any point. We have seen this time and time again over the last year and a half. Obviously, the global pandemic. There's an economic crisis in BC and probably California. There are fires raging and burning things down, burning possessions away. And they will be stripped in a moment. Trusting in your wealth will end in destruction. The righteous, I love what the proverb says, the righteous run into it and they are safe. I'm reminded of Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God." They will see the kingdom of God in their lives. And the reason why is because they know that they need God. Apart from God, they are utterly helpless. Essentially, blessed are you when you realize that you need God. Blessed are you when you realize that God alone is your strong tower. It is not the riches of this world that are your strong tower. It is God Himself. It is the very being of who He is. It is in His name. The righteous run to it. They run. They know that God is their only place of refuge. They throw everything else aside and they run directly to that strong tower. They run up the stairs that spiral all the way to the top and they find their safety in Him alone, that the arrows from the enemy will not hurt them. Because God alone is the strong tower. I love how Eugene Peterson says it in the message. He says, God's name is a place of protection. Good people can run there and be safe. The rich think their wealth protects them. They imagine themselves safe behind it. They create a picture in their mind of their wealth, like the man in his bathtub throwing his money up in the air. They think that they are protected by the money, but they're not. Pride first, then the crash, but humility is precursor to honor. How can we run to the Lord, our strong tower? Great, Randall. God is a strong tower. How can I get into this tower? How can I find the safety and protection that God will give? I believe with all my heart that one of the best ways is to enter in through prayer. God, You are my provider. I find refuge in Your provision, not in my job, not in my paycheck, not in my house. God, You are the provider, and You alone will be my provision. God, You are love. You are a God of love. I find refuge in the fact that You call me Your son. You call me Your daughter. I find refuge in the love that You lavish upon Your children. The love that passes all knowledge. God, I find peace in the storms of life. When they are raging all around, I find peace in You alone that passes all understanding. God, you are the God of comfort. I find comfort in you when my friends reject me, when I have no social media followers, when I am hurt, when the wounds that I've incurred over my life just keep coming back into my mind. I find comfort in you alone, because you alone will be my comfort, God. How can we pray? We can pray by ourselves at home. We can pray with a mentor or a leader, or with our small group, or with anyone. Pray with a member of our prayer team that will be here after the service. We would love to pray with you. Secondly, lean into the call. What do I mean by that? So often we choose comfort over what God is really calling us to. Whether that's choosing a comfortable paycheck and not really liking our job, or getting paid less and really liking our job. So often we choose the comfortableness, the safety. But I want to tell you today, I want to beckon you, lean into the call that God has on your life. Where is God calling you to step into? A friend of mine once said, he said, the safest place to be is in the center of his will. What is the will of God for your life? What is he calling you to? Where is he asking you to step out and be uncomfortable? Because remember, he alone will be your comfort. He alone will be your security. And when the storms of life come, you can say, I know I am safe because I am in the center of his will. I know I am safe because I am in the center of his will. Lean in to the call. The psalmist in Psalm 9:10 would say this, and those who know your name put their trust in you. Why do they put their trust in him? Because they know his character. They know who he is. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Third, Worship. When the storms of life are coming at you, when the arrows of the enemy are trying to pierce you, when you are dealing with anxiety and stress and depression and you can't seem to make it anymore, lift your eyes off the things of this world. When you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from, lift your eyes off this world and up to Jesus and start to declare that he is bigger than all of life's problems. He is greater than the hurts that I feel. He is greater than no paycheck or a little bit of money coming in. He is greater than my kids dealing with anxiety. He is the strong tower that will keep us safe. Pastor once said, worship at the level of your warfare. Worship at the level of your warfare. When the arrows are coming at you, lift your eyes to Jesus and gaze upon his beauty and declare the goodness of God in all of life's circumstances. And lastly, give up control. I love to take control. I love to be in control. I want to build my own wall. This is my wall. This is my security. I'm in control. This is my strong tower. I will defend against the enemy and everything that comes against me. But that is a false sense of security. You walking in control is a false sense of security. And the only place that you will find rest, the only place that you will find security is in our strong tower, is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Some of you may not know or have a relationship with the God I'm talking about. His name is Jesus. His name is Strong Tower. His name is the rock, the firm foundation that we can build our lives upon. He is the only one who can save us. And today, if you do not know him, I beg you, I invite you, I plead with you to run to the strong tower. Acts 2:21 says, anyone who calls upon the name, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I invite you to call upon his name today. If you'd like prayer with someone to give your life, to give control over to Jesus, I would invite you to come and pray with someone after the service. We will have a prayer team up here. You can pray with myself or Donna. We would love to pray with you. Why don't we stand together and let's continue to fix our gaze upon Jesus. Fix our gaze upon the strong tower, the only one who is able to save us. Amen.